Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Yep, he's done it again, folks.
Oh, no, not again. Oh, my. Oh, my. Oh, my goodness gracious.
Named to Talkers Magazine's Heavy 100 for the third year in a row.
It's not the first time. It won't be the last.
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
Welcome back. It's 34 after the hour. Thank you very much for joining me today. If you just tuned in, welcome aboard. If you've been listening already, well, you know what I always say, that means you're a highly intelligent individual. I'm excited about having Bill Schley back on the show, folks. He's one of our branding experts, and I see your eyes rolling. You know we're going to talk about branding again, and I'm going to keep talking about this, folks, until we get good at it. And we're going to keep writing this on the chalkboard 100 times until we get good at branding, because this is the key to your success, folks. Bill Schley and Carl Nichols Jr. are the co-authors of an outstanding book, Why Johnny Can't Brand. They're also partners at David Inc., an international brand consulting firm out of the great state of Connecticut. And the book is called Why Johnny Can't Brand, Rediscovering, Lost Art of the Big Idea. Bill, welcome back to the show.
How you doing? Good to be here.
It's good to have you here. We're doing great around here. And as I say, my audience, I know they love hearing us talk about branding, but they do roll their eyes because I just drill this into their heads. I mean, it's like almost any topic that we might be talking about, I'll find a way to stick a branding idea in there. And so you know how your kids, when you're telling your kids to eat their peas or you know whatever to do, you know, they roll their eyes. Here he goes again.
Yeah.
Well, that's the way my audience is, I think. But I don't care. I'm going to keep talking about branding because it's like their peas and their medicine. It's good for them.
Well, it sure is. Yeah, you know, you remind me because every time I talk about it, my teenagers roll their eyes too. Do we have to listen to one more chapter of your book, Dad? Come on.
That's right. You know, when you have teenagers, it's when you realize why some animals eat their young.
But, right.
Okay. You guys have been out in the marketplace. You've been out where the rubber meets the road.
Yep.
You've been talking to people about branding and letting them talk to you about their ideas about branding. What are you hearing?
One of the things is, too, you know, people hear this branding stuff over and over again. Some of the things is because they keep hearing the same things over and over again, too. And you're right, eat your peas, eat your vegetables. It's no less true. It's just that, you know, you get tired by repetition. Thing is, when people realize that the branding isn't optional, that if you open your doors for business, whether you're the local shoe store or whether you're, you know, no matter what business you're in, you're already a brand because people they can't help forming an impression of you. So you better control what that impression is.
So you're saying that you have a brand. The question is whether you get to define it or you're going to let somebody else define your brand.
That's exactly right. And it didn't used to matter because in the old days, you didn't have to brand yourself because everybody in business was the only game in town. I mean,
right.
There was the butcher, the baker, and the candlestick maker. And that or the pizza man, he was the brand.
He was the only choice. They didn't say go to Harvey's butcher shop. They just said go to the butcher shop.
Because he was the category. That's it. So that was the brand. But now we live in a world where the internet is—it's not just the whole world is chaos of competition, but you can be a small business person and you can get competition from Timbuktu, literally.
That's right.
Or anywhere on the planet, and guess what? They can get competition from you. It's a double-edged sword. Today, you can't survive unless you think of yourself as a brand. But all that means is it doesn't mean you have to have a budget like Procter & Gamble.
Mm-hmm.
It just means you have to have an idea of what you stand for that you believe in with a passion. And attach that idea to your name. That's it.
Well, you know, here's a wonderful, a great example. In my opinion, the best and most classic example of what you're talking about is Nike.
Yeah. And Nike.
Nike doesn't make anything, basically. Now, okay, they may have a factory here or there, but basically they don't make anything. They just put their brand on stuff.
Yeah, true.
My point is, right. is any small business can do writ small what right. Nike has done writ large.
Well, yeah, Jim, yes, but here's where you say that, and this is kind of what I want to talk about today, and it gets scary for people. Because
yeah.
I just been, well, now
you're
with
right.
the book out, we're going to conferences and conferences, and people are asking us to speak, and we speak, we hear the other speakers, okay? So the other speakers sit there and say, yeah, branding's important, everybody nods their head, and yeah, it's great. And then what they do is, a lot of them say, okay, so what you got to do, and then in branding, you have to win at something. The brand is, you got to attach your name to an idea of value, but that idea has to say, hey, you know what, I'm the best in my specialty.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever that is. Now, in the book, we show you how you define your own specialty. So
right.
it doesn't matter if someone else is the best at something. You just switch and you create your own specialty to be number one in. But everybody,
hold that thought, Bill.
Okay,
we got to take a quick break because we got some brands we need to talk about for about
okay.
3 minutes here.
Great.
And when we come back, we're going to talk about that thing. And you know, the word he hasn't said yet, folks, which I think he's about to say, is differentiation. Where have you heard that before? Ponytail, stay with us. Lindsey Buckingham, ladies and gentlemen. Perhaps, certainly one of the world's greatest guitarists. Welcome back. It's 17 Till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and we're always looking for love here on the show, and I know you are too with your customers. And we got lots of love with our good friend Bill Schley. Bill and Carl Nichols Jr. are the co-authors of Why Johnny Camp Brand. And there's a lot of love in this book, too, Bill. Congratulations on it. Tell us where the book's available, please.
Hey, Jim, I feel like I'm talking on a Delilah show right now. I mean, we could talk about that.
We got it all
we
right here.
We could take calls from, you know, whatever.
Absolutely. We got it all right here for you.
Right.
Well, tell us where the book's available.
The book's available on Amazon, of course, and all the big bookstores. You just look up Why Johnny Camp Brand, and you'll find it.
One of the things I wanted to point out, and by the way, folks, I really encourage you, this is a great small business book on branding. I mean, this is written in a way that you'll get a lot of meat out of this. You don't have to read 16 pages to get something good out of it. It's good stuff.
Well, Tom, it's funny, too, Jim. It's funny, so it's not hard to read.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And which is the reason I like it, because if I can understand this, you can too, folks. The thing I want to point out, though, Bill, when I was talking about Nike a minute ago,
mm-hmm.
the point I was making is Nike didn't invent a new computer, they didn't invent a new automobile, they didn't invent anything new.
Yeah.
It basically just delivered it in a special and unique way, and that's what I meant when I was talking about small business owners could take a lesson from them.
Right.
You know, we're sitting out here, small business owners, saying, you know what, I can't. I'm in the tire business. I'm in the shoestring business. Whatever.
Right.
But you can still have, and that's what you talk about in your book.
Yeah.
You can dominate with your brand.
Yeah,
by doing that without inventing anything that saves the world.
Yeah, here's the thing: you can definitely learn lessons from any of those great brands because most of the lessons are that they wouldn't be great if they didn't perform. I mean, Nike makes great shoes, and Starbucks has great coffee, and the iPod is an amazing thing. So they're all good products that perform, or they wouldn't become great brands. But what I wanted to say is, I go to the conferences, and the brand gurus get up and they say, okay. Brands are great, and everybody nods their head. So now all the small businesses, they're ready to find out what the answer is. And then they start to say things like, well, you've got to become remarkable. You've got to think out of the box. And you've got to think like the iPod or invent Starbucks or do something. And people sort of get defeated, and they almost say, that's great, but that doesn't apply to me. I make toothpaste, or, you know, I've got a little business in a small town. And they kind of go out thinking defeated. Mm-hmm. Because the secret to winning in branding is the simple secret is that an inch is as good as a mile. In a golf, in winning anything, that 1% difference, when a horse wins a Kentucky Derby by a nose, he wins all the money.
That's
and
right.
He wins by a thousandth of a second. When a golfer wins the Masters, there's 288 shots in a golf tournament, but the guy who gets 289 wins. Mm-hmm. All you have to do is win by the tiniest differential. And you know what? Any one of us can do that.
Actually, so, that would be 287, Bill.
Maybe who's
quibbling?
Maybe that's what it is. But people say, what's the most important part of your body to focus on when you're brander? You know, the brain? That's too obvious. The heart? That's old-fashioned. It's your nose. Because you win by a nose. And when you think that way, you realize, I can do this. Anybody can win by that much if they just decide to focus on something.
Well, and what should we focus on? Give us an idea of how we identify what we focus on.
Well, okay, because that's another. So then everybody says, great, okay, it's all platitudes. So focus. How do you focus? I can't focus. I never could. I learned how to focus, Jim, because I became a skydiver. Okay? Now, I'm not advocating that people become a skydiver. There's just a good lesson in that, okay,
mm-hmm.
about commitment.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if you ever thought about commitment, but when you step out of an airplane, you never fall up. I've never seen anyone fall up. It's guaranteed what's going to happen. And if you're not good
Mr. Gravity always works, doesn't it?
If you're not good at commitment, I promise you, you are when you step out of an airplane. You're good at focus.
That's exactly right.
When you commit to anything, and you realize I've got to deal with what I'm going to deal with, so I'm committed to it. You have focus like a laser, like a genius. And it's a funny story, Scott. It's a long story, actually. But it's the same thing. That the reason people can't brand is because they're afraid to pick the one thing out of 27 things they can say. They want to say all 27. They end up saying nothing. So it's this, you commit to the one thing that's going to be the most important thing, and all of a sudden that thing is like a mountaintop in front of you.
What I think seems to be the challenge for a lot of people, let's say that you're one of six shoe stores in a little strip mall or a big mall or whatever,
mm-hmm.
and you say, well, you know, I'm just one of these six shoe stores. How can I be anything? How can I be a special brand? Well, the brand is not about the shoes, is it?
Well, it depends.
If you're one of three companies that sells hush puppies mm-hmm. in this mall, how do you differentiate yourself?
The
brand is not the hush puppies.
Yep.
The brand is the experience that you give your customers when they come in.
Right. Well, that's the thing. You've got to find out the differential in that winning by a nose. You just have to find where the differential is for you. There's usually like seven or eight different ways that one little difference can be.
Mm-hmm.
Now, let's say if you're the only shoe store in the mall that sells hush puppies, let's say you're the only one with a hush puppies franchise, then you are differentiated.
That makes
hush
a difference,
puppies, right?
But see, that's too easy.
Well, not, I hear you.
But you're not the only one on the internet.
That's
for sure.
Well, that's the next situation.
Stand by. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back with our good friend Bill Schley. He's the author of Why Johnny Can't Brand. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
DAVIDID.com.
Okay. Check that out when you get a chance. They can find out more about the book there, can't they?
They can, and they can also link right to Amazon.
All right. Sounds good. I want to tell you about a little thing that happened to me recently. I like Johnson and Murphy shoes.
Uh-huh.
I have many pairs of them over the years. I like their shoes, and they have shops in airports. I don't know if you've noticed that or not, but they have nice shops in airports. The other day I was coming through Cincinnati, and there was a shop there, and I'd been in there before, but I didn't remember being there all that much. But anyway, I went in, saw a pair of shoes I liked, and the guy helped me with it. And I said, can you ship these? He said, sure. So I said, well, I think I'll take them. And he said, well, just a minute, what's your name? I told him. He said, yes, sir, we have you in the computer. We have everything you need. All you have to do is pay for them. We know we can take care of everything else. Now, that is, I think, a little locally owned shop in that airport.
Uh-huh.
Now, their shop is exactly like all the other Johnson & Murphy shops in all other airports. I've seen them all over the place.
Right.
But that one is special because at one point in time, they asked me for my information. I gave it to them, and now I'm part of their, you know, I'm in. I'm sort of an insider. I didn't have to do anything but give you my money.
Right.
He took care of everything else.
Yep.
That
yep.
saved me time. That made me feel like it was part of their community.
Yeah.
And that's the only difference between that shop and all the other Johnson & Murphy shops.
And you know what else? He made you feel important, didn't he?
That's exactly right.
That's what when people
that's,
have talked.
That's the ding in branding.
That's what the America was built on, the idea that the customer is always right. All it's saying is the customer is important. And we go through life nowadays feeling so unimportant, right? We're marginalized, generalized, you know,
right.
categorized, made to feel like a number. And you want the one place you can go where you feel differently is in a small business. Because the owner can make you feel important. And that difference, no big box business is ever going to be able to take that over.
In a town that I go to, there's a really nice fish market, and I like to buy fresh fish. And so I walked up to the guy, and I said, I think I want that fish, and can I tell you, you know, I asked him about how he would clean it for me. It was a whole fish. I was going to have him clean it for me, and I started saying that. He said, sir. He said, I'll cut it however you want me to cut it. In other words, he made me feel like, you know, it was no problem at all. I was asking him for something a little bit extra effort. And he
right.
says, you know, I'll do it however you want to do it. Well,
mm-hmm.
you know what? That completely made me feel relaxed and at home.
Yes.
And that's
yeah.
the ding in branding, isn't it?
It sure is part of it. There's no question about it. It's that big advantage that, again, that small business people have. But
it's free, isn't it? I mean, there's nothing. You don't have to have a budget for what I just said.
Well, you can create a great brand for the cost of five sheets of paper. So it's the biggest, it's the greatest markup there is, and it's for the most valuable asset you could ever own.
Bill, I got one minute left. What's your last thoughts on branding?
My last thoughts is that everyone can do this. Every business, no matter how the best brands I have ever seen, and my clients now are the biggest Fortune 500s in the world, some of them. The best brands I've ever seen are the smallest businesses in mm-hmm. small towns that I've seen. And it comes from the passion and the common sense of small business people. And there is a brand in every single business. Don't ever think that one idea isn't in there, because it is. And if you don't find it, you've done yourself a disservice, because it's there.
Well, and the main thing that you've helped us to understand today is that you can have a great brand without having a huge budget.
You don't have to have any budget.
Yeah.
There's examples. The best examples in the book are like local people that did it just on an idea and a
right.
little bit of passion. So
right. exactly, and
yep.
you got it, but you got to care about your customer. That's
you
one
sure
thing
do.
For sure. Hey, Bill Schley, thanks for being here, folks. The last name is spelled Schley. He and Carl Nichols Jr. are the authors of Why Johnny Can't Brand. Thank you, Bill, for being here. Good job today. We'll see you next time.
Okay.
Quick, no, actually, I got to go for this hour. Before I do, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners, but don't go away. I'll be back on the other side of the news.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.